I broke a nail, not my holiday spirit.
You can't call me by my given name, but you can call me Dorinda, because I'm not handling the holiday workload well, bitch.
Can you do that? Can you do the original one? Can you do the original one too?
Sure.
Just for the ages. I just wanted them to hear. I wanted them to hear the tagline as originally written. Okay. Ready.
Listen.
Go.
Listen. It was an idea. Okay. You can't call me by my given name, but you can call me Dorit because I do have zero tolerance for more bullshit. And you could call me Nini because I am a size 8. I could be a size 6, but I'm hungry for these holiday cookies, bitch. And you could call me Dorinda because I'm not handling the holiday workload well, bitch.
I mean, chef's kiss.
I wanted to bring you options. I think that's what friends do.
I appreciate that. I appreciate a friendly option. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. We're going to call this a holiday spectacular because I just realized that it's coming out on Christmas Eve day, maybe. I forget. Oh. I think. Is that Tuesday?
It is.
Okay. So happy holidays to anyone celebrating Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa. Light your menorahs and your ass up. And, you know, it's the worst year of my life. So Merry Christmas.
Yeah. And there's aliens.
So, okay. So I am so out to lunch with like everything happening in the universe. I'm not paying attention to anything.
That's why we're friends. I got you.
Thank you. You catch me when I fall. Mm-hmm. me when I fall.
I'm the wind beneath your wings.
You are. And I've gotten very obsessed with something, but I can't talk about it. Cause
That's rude.
No, I can't talk about it. People are going to get so upset and I just can't talk about it, but
can you whisper it to me?
I think I have whispered it to you. I feel like you had emotion about it.
Oh, okay.
It happened by accident. It's not my fault, but as a tertiary sort of side piece, I am obsessed with all things Brianna Chicken Fry Grace O'Malley.
Oh my God. I know. Yep.
But that's not what I'm not talking about. There's okay. Something else. But I've just gotten very, here's the thing. Because I talked about it with my brother who absolutely judged the fuck out of me. I don't know how this happened. And I blame the YouTube algorithm. I'm sure Elon was involved in some way, even though he's like a Twitter guy. I just have gotten very, very into stool scenes, which is Barstool Sports's weekly sort of reality show. And I don't support Barstools, like yada, yada, yada. But
you are. You actively are by watching the videos.
I've watched like, I don't know, 50 of them maybe. And also they do a reality TV show called Surviving Barstool because like their whole thing is like all the people who work there are like characters. So they did a ripoff of Survivor called Surviving Barstool. So I watched season 3, which is excellent. And I'm now watching season 4 live on YouTube when it drops Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 8:00 Eastern. And I'm not proud of it. And I'm not saying that I co-sign everything that's been said and done on Barstool. And they have grown a lot. But also there's been some other shit I absolutely do not support. I'm just saying that we all have our things.
Got it. No, listen, I get it.
It's helping me heal. It is helping me heal.
I understand. I'm not going to judge. I'm going to reserve all judgment.
Thank you. What's that dumb TikTok thing that I only know about from
We
TikTok?
Listen.
Yeah.
And we don't judge.
We listen and we don't judge.
That's right.
I'm deep into the YouTube channel for stool scenes and shout out Big Cat, who I just think is the king. And
now when you originally said stool scenes, I was like, is she doing something where she's watching something about feces? And honestly, my thing would have been better. But we listen and we don't judge.
We listen and we don't judge. That would honestly make sense based on my like GI situation, abdominal surgery. I'm not watching anyone actively poop, although I just hope this holiday season and as a New Year's resolution that everyone's bowel movements are consistent and healthy. Because let me tell you what, the summer of no pooping, not a lot of fun.
No, I love to poop. I really do. I mean, it's great. That's why I would never take like an opioid because I'm like, nah. They offered it to me after I had a really difficult C-section. I was like, I like to poop. I'm good. Thank you. You hold those.
Yeah. You know what? After the I haven't had a C-section before, but after, you know, that time in which, and if you're already been having some stuff, the post-anesthesia, the focus that everyone has on like, you must poop is.
I know.
Is wild.
They really, yeah. It's really like you're back in the potty training days. They're all very into it.
Truly. So what's your We Listen and We Don't Judge?
Watching a lot about the orbs lately. A lot about the orbs. Listen, do I have a TikTok addiction? Probably. Am I okay with it? Yes. I'm also okay with it. I think I've watched every possible footage on the orbs and the drones and many other subjects. That's why I recently talked about it. And I don't think we have anything to be afraid of with the orbs. Because, you know, it's two things, right? It's like the drones are exploring the orbs, or they're staring at the orbs.
All I know about what's happening is that Bethany Frankel hopped on Instagram to say, like, she knew the truth escaping the Northeast.
So can you
please, because I know some people might be obsessed with this, but I don't know. So I guess people have seen drones or something
yes.
in New Jersey?
So that's the thing that's riling everybody up. And that's what pisses me off, because we know damn well those are government drones because they got the FAA required lighting and everything on them. And they're biz buzzing around everybody, getting everybody up in a tizzy. And people are polite, because some states they would have just shot some stuff out of the sky. But people are being very polite in New Jersey on the Eastern Seaboard. And, the drones are like in people's neighborhoods, over people's houses, just going big drones, little drones, all kinds of different drones. And they're apparently looking at orbs, ORBs. And orbs are like this naturally occurring, been happening forever thing, but people believe in flaps, okay, in quotes, and that's where you just have many of them showing up for whatever reason that they have, and it could be interdimensional, or it could be many things, and so plasma, drones, orbs.
And there was some, like, hot goss that, like, there was like a bomb or something that they were looking for or something.
Oh, yeah. That was a rumor, because people were like, no, they're scanning the earth. They're not looking at the orbs. They're looking down, and they have a sensor, and they're looking for a nuclear thing that somebody lost. And I'm like, man, I don't think so. I don't think so.
So it's just a nothing burger then?
I mean, it's something to someone who's decided to be fine with alarming the general population or distracting us. I mean, in this day and age, there's showmanry. We never know what's going on.
Okay, so I think we should do a Bravo edition. This is me thinking on my feet, as we love to do the dance of We Listen and We Don't Judge. So okay. I want to say a We Listen and We Don't Judge, and then we both say it together while you silently judge me.
Well, what example are you going to give? Like, how deep are we going right now? So I think you have to go first. You have to set the scene for me.
I think it can be whatever you want. I'll go first. I think it can be whatever you want. It can be from whatever. Let's just do a couple. Okay. We listen and we don't judge.
Okay.
I will probably never be able to let Bethany go. I will never be able to let Bethany fully go. I am that person who's going to look at her videos, and I'm going to comment myself, if not actively engage. And she has me by the balls probably forever.
Wow.
We listen and we don't judge.
We don't judge. Okay. Wow. That was hard for me. I'm listening and I'm not judging. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. What's
all right.
What's
fine. I miss Dorinda, and it didn't bother me when she got a little crazy on people. I liked it.
We listen and we don't we say it together.
Sorry, we listen and we don't judge.
You know what? I just realized I didn't introduce you.
Well, we never do. That's our thing.
No, I'm going to do it because I always do it. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 600, whatever. So excited to have back favorite person on the planet. You know her as a content creator, host of the incredible, amazing podcast High and Low. Welcome back to the People's People Zoom Kiki. Bravo, bravo, ducking, bravo. BBDB, Mary, whatever.
Mary, whatever. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to be here. Okay, so wait. So you didn't feel any sense of discomfort when Dorinda goes into dark Dorinda energy?
I feel alive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When she's holding up a giant wine glass and yelling at Tinsley and coming for Ramona in a foreign location, and Ramona had a shocked face and verbally eviscerating Sonia, talking about her vagina being the Holland Tunnel. I like her.
But I think Holland Tunnel Dorinda is much more palatable than like Dorinda v. Tins. during the Tinsley era, that was very bleak.
It was bleak. It was bleak. But it's also authentic, and you can't say that for a lot of housewives. And I think that's what I liked about it. I was like, she's really mad. She's legitimately mad about something, and she's actually going off on someone. It's not like practiced, and it's not, I don't know. I think that's what I miss. I miss the real ones, you know? That's why they're a treasure when you find them.
Mm. That's a solid point. Remember when Dorinda leaked to, like, whomever the trades that she was getting a spinoff and then nothing happened?
I blocked that out.
I think it was about Bluestone Manor, maybe, and, like, her doing something with that with people.
Wasn't she supposed to, though, have a thing? I see. This is why I don't usually listen to all this kind of stuff of like, oh, they've released who they're going to cast. I'm like, I'll see them when their faces are up there, because I'm not doing this every franchise, every year for everything forever till I die.
Yeah. Listen, speaking of franchises and doing shit forever and ever until we die, this week, Salt Lake City, Beverly Hills, this past week, rather, Salt Lake City, Beverly Hills, I thought incredible content.
Amazing.
Which show has you genuinely hooked where okay. You just like can't? What is the thing that you can't stop thinking about? And it doesn't need to be, Beverly Hills just in general. It doesn't need to be franchise specific, but it could be like a moment, a person, a dynamic, a quarrel.
Okay. Well, I'm haunted. I'm haunted in one regard. We can talk about that. And then I am enamored in another. So I'm haunted for Salt Lake City. I cannot stop ruminating and thinking about the Bronwyn dropping the bombshell when they were at sea on the yacht about infidelity with Todd, things I've lived through. And I was crying. I cried real tears watching that. Okay. I watched the whole thing. And then I watched the Watch What Happens Live. And everything got backtracked of like, oh, it was just, you know, he was just texting and somebody was too flirty with him. And those are my boundaries. And I'm like, wait. It was presented very differently on the show. And that felt real. And so now I'm questioning everything and I'm in a very weird place about it. And I know that I'm not alone in this, but I don't know what to make of it. I don't want to think to myself that she led us all down a path that she knew wasn't. Because they talked about this is where I'm just going to spin out. They talked about specific things on the boat, and it made it seem like he had had an affair on her, whether just purely emotional or physical. And then in the Watch What Happens Live, did you watch that? Did you see that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I only saw a clip of it. I didn't get to see the whole thing.
You might have watched the right clip. But it's just when Andy's asking her about it, and she says, you know, oh, that was just, you know, they never had a physical thing and it was just my boundaries and I'm just very insecure. And, you know, that was just my example that I used and I wish I'd used something different. No, that's not how it was presented. So I'm in a weird place. I keep running it through my mind. Like, is it that she has backtracked it now because Todd has not watched the episode?
On purpose? So he could be able to say that he didn't have a comic because he hadn't seen it? Is that what? Is that
I don't know. And she's like, no, but I called him. I called him as soon as it aired and I told him everything. He knows everything. He knows it all. Knowing it is different from seeing it. Knowing it's different from seeing it. And he's sitting in the audience at Watch What Happens Live saying like, oh, no, I know it all. It's fine. We've worked through it. It's okay. I'm like, I don't know. But they have their situation going. So it's either she backpedaled super hard to keep everything copacetic with Todd, to keep that boat on calm waters. Or, per Lisa, it was a showman situation. I don't know what to believe.
Okay, here's the concern with Todd having not seen it. Couple concerns. One is they already filmed the reunion.
I know.
So he's able to walk into the reunion. Mm-hmm. I did see some clips from Watch What Happens, including him saying that he was there, the husbands were there. So he's able to watch what he's able to make a genuine denial that, yep, like, I don't have a real hot take on this because I haven't seen the footage, which is a true strategic move and a cop out. Or he's too arrogant to watch what's going on. But also, the thing about the idea that like, oh, we worked through this and whatever else, which is something that housewives say when they have a breaking point, break open, share something vulnerable, you know, typically negative or complicated about their relationship. And then you have the moment, the full circle moment of like, we learned so much, we grew stronger, or they split up. Or they just stay in purgatory forever and ever, amen, until eventually they split up. Bronwyn is taking that away from herself by not that she should, I mean, this is a whole issue, I guess, with her marriage, but like, she shouldn't have to like invite him to sit down and watch this, but by not maybe having a conversation with him. I know you're saying that she said that she called him, but like, sit down and watch it together and then be able to be emotionally mature enough and open enough to talk about how she felt then.
Zero chance.
She's just able to, because maybe she's embarrassed, she's nervous, whatever, for her to summarize it for him. I don't have a belief that she's going to be as vulnerable in recapping it as she was in the moment.
Like, oh, I just, you know, I was just mentioning about how you and I have gone through things and it's made us stronger.
That's not what she said on the boat.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, that's what, I wonder what Todd knows about what was said about him publicly. He seems to be very interested in maintaining a certain public image, persona, and allure as a, you know, a C-suite gentleman, a board of directors type, a trustee. So I don't know. I can't wrap my mind around that information.
Well, then he needs to be a better husband.
I mean, I think we're going to get a hallelujah from everybody
watching. She's going to exhaust herself otherwise.
Yeah. No, I think she wakes up every day and puts her little tap shoes on and does a little soft shoe in the number of his choosing. Like, I think she's, you know, singing for her supper in that relationship. It seems like she puts a lot into it. Good on her. She earned that necklace, but.
Well, we don't really know if she received that
necklace. We don't. And that's another thing. That was what was haunting me before. And now I got this.
So with Bronwyn, I mean, I'm not blaming her for the state of her marriage, but she also
Never.
Is a participant in her True. Marriage. So like, is she sitting, I guess maybe she obviously knows him better than the rest of us. Is she just sort of like in a dynamic, she's obviously unhappy about it, where she is not, her opinions, her emotions are not going to be respected, listened to. He has no capacity for growth in the ways that she's telling us she wants him to or needs him to. Like, is she gonna, what's the vibe?
So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that on the show, those were either real moments. And so we get that from her when she's like in the pressure cooker of Real Housewives, not knowing her place and whatever. And she snapped and like revealed some stuff or not. Her Lisa. And if she revealed all of this stuff and now she's backtracking seemingly almost everything of like, we're good, you know, nobody's marriage is perfect. Cause then I watched a after show and I watched the Watch What Happens Live because I was like, what the hell just happened? I wept. Like, what? I really felt for you in this infidelity situation. And now I'm being told, oh, it's a nothing burger. I'm just insecure. So I'm not sure what to make of it, but in both the after show and Watch What Happens Live, everything's good. Obviously, everything's good with me and Todd, because if I wanted to leave, I would leave. We don't have a prenup, and I would just leave whenever I wanted, if I wanted to. So I cannot invest myself emotionally into it anymore, was my takeaway.
The gauge of whether or not a marriage is quote-unquote good can't be whether or not you're still in it. That doesn't mean anything. People stay in bad marriages all the time. Doesn't make them good. Just makes them existing.
Yeah. I don't know. She says they're happy.
I don't doubt that they are happy, but I also think that there are some like deep, intense issues here and complications. And I genuinely have empathy for her, but also I don't know how much of that was performative because it's like live TV or live to tape TV and he is in the audience front row. I don't know, like, what are we going to get from her at the reunion? Is she going to say the same fucking thing, that everything's great?
I don't know, but what I worry about, though, is that her stock, you know, it skyrocketed. And Bravo, too. Bravo did this. They've presented her, to me anyway, as, like, the runaway star. She has more confessionals. She has more, you know, just everything. There's a lot of focus on her when you think about who's gotten a lot of attention, storyline, filming, all that stuff. So it worries me that she's going to lose trust with the viewers. I think it's going to keep going. Like, people are still going to, you know, enjoy her and everything. But this was really big, in my opinion. And then to have it sort of just be brushed aside, like, oh, no, it's fine.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
How did you feel about the direct use of the term infidelity?
Well, infidelity means, you know, somebody was not faithful. And I didn't jump to physical. I jumped in my mind to, you know, maybe I wondered, did she do something, was my original thought. And then when it turned out it was him, I was very shocked. And I thought, okay, this could be wholly emotional. This could be physical, which is where most minds go. And that's the most likely, you know, scenario for a person who works away from her for the bulk of the week. But then, you know, so nobody knew. That wasn't clarified. It was just like, there was infidelity. How did you find out? My daughter looked over his shoulder and saw him texting with a woman. And it's like, okay, with no clarity, we don't know if that was just emotional or physical. But the way she's crying about it, you assume it was something meaningful and big, that he went out and bought her a ring with 5 stones, shows that he acknowledged that it was something bad and worth commemorating with, like, a new promise to her, a new path forward. And then to be told, like, oh, you know, it's just, I'm insecure in our relationship, and that was a bad example to use. Huh?
You know what? That's a great point, because if she is just saying this is, like, kind of a nothing burger, obviously we know it isn't because of how she reacted to revealing it herself on the boat, but also the fact that he did buy her a 5-diamond ring.
Yeah.
Like, obviously they both had an understanding here. If she is telling us that ring is directly correlated with him, like, renewing his vow, essentially, as a
5 things he should have promised her when they got married, she said. So I felt like it wasn't crazy for us all to really be feeling for her and feeling like she really went through something. And that's why it was so shocking to see what was said about it when he's present.
So, I mean, normalize changing your mind based on new information has your mind changed at all, your opinion changed at all about Bronwyn as a result of her walking this back?
Well, I mean, for me, I've lost trust, absolutely, in what I'm seeing. And if I'm presented an emotional moment, I'm going to say to myself, cool your jets, pull it back. And that's how it is with a lot of housewives. So when someone's new like that and you're getting to know them, you take them for their word. You go with moments that feel real for them. And now that I've seen this disparity, I'm like, okay, let's not get too invested in this because I can't fully decide whether or not, you know, how much of this is legit, how much of this is as her friend for a really long time. Lisa gets off the boat and says, interesting. And I was like, what? Did I just get played? And then seeing the other shows. So
I haven't seen the full Watch What Happens, but I saw, I've watched the full, the two-parter after show for both Beverly Hills and Salt Lake. And Heather is, you know.
Yeah, she went off. I watched that too. Yeah.
Yeah, Heather said that essentially she feels like maybe she was, that maybe this was a performance.
Mm-hmm.
That Bronwyn's reveal was a performance. She says that. She says she feels like Bronwyn betrayed Todd in sharing it on camera, but also...
See, that was kind of crap. It's because Heather was all about it in the moment. You know what I mean? In the moment, she was like, that's terrible. He shouldn't do that. I mean, she showed up with the girl stuff that I knew she would. I was like, Heather and Lisa. But when Lisa didn't, that was weird. But Heather did. Heather was all in there, you know, being supportive, everything. So then for her to change, too... Is it just from like talking to Lisa or I don't know, because Heather came off bad. It came off really bad for her and all the after show stuff. You know, I was reading like the comments and people being like, Heather's such a hater and da 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 da. And I'm like, but I have questions. Like, why did she switch? She was so into helping Bronwyn to like stand up for herself and know her worth and demand what she needed out of a relationship. And now she's like, meh.
But she only did that in a way that I thought was super supportive on the boat.
Like, right, that's right.
Like, she hadn't done that prior. So I wonder if their friendship just, or whatever was possibly promising of a friendship, just went down in flames for the rest of the season. And now Heather's like, I don't give a single fuck.
Could be.
We have an impact, I think.
Could be that.
Empathy she wants to give Bronwyn, right?
Yeah, could be that. But it's just hard, I think. Because, you know, I'm just like a normal viewer. You're a normal viewer. Like, we watch these shows and we are on the ride with these strangers. Like, she's an absolute stranger. We have never seen her before. This is her first season. And, yeah, I don't know where it's going to go. But, I mean, time does reveal all things. So, we'll see. We're peeling back an onion.
There is something about Bronwyn where I think it's like, I don't know if it's the cadence of her voice. I don't know. And, you know, women's voices,
we can do a lot. Yes.
I mean, listen, and we know this as women podcasters, the framework of what makes a good voice, quote unquote, mm-hmm. good or listenable is wild. And it's often subconsciously just based on what might sound too feminine, that's immediately devalued or given terms that have quite literally nothing to do with that actual specific tone. But I've noticed with Bronwyn sometimes when she's talking or talking about things, she puts on a little bit of an affect where it sounds like she's doing not like a preschooler kind of thing, but there's like a little bit of a extra layer of gloss that she puts at some points, but not others.
Yeah.
And I think about that, not in terms of like criticizing again the tone of her voice, but just in her delivery. I just kind of wonder, because we see that a lot on the after show, like, is that something that she's doing because she's new to this, or is this just what she uses in her real life? Because that's not Bronwyn. She changes. She vocally changes.
She does. And I enjoy it because it's her first season. I don't think you ever see somebody as raw and real, Bronick's question, as you do on their first season. So I very much enjoy those moments because I'm not the only person who has noticed that she has a unique voice that she uses when she talks to her husband, Todd. And it is high-pitched. It sounds like a Disney princess. You thought I was being mean? Oh. It's like that. And then when she's yelling at Lisa, you want me to ride your dick, Lisa? And then when she's talking to, like, I don't know, just the regular group, it can sound normal the way we're talking to each other right now. or it goes into that coating. There does become like a coating, like, oh, all right, I see. So she has these different ways of speaking that are unique to her, and we'll see if she notices it and changes it for next year.
Do you think she's taken, have other people like reference this to her on her social or anything? Is that something?
She's probably paying attention to things, you know. She may have zoned out now that she's found out like Rihanna follows her and she's, you know, very popular and stuff. She might just be coasting, who knows? But I feel like most of them read things generalized, you know, about themselves.
I feel like the cast of Salt Lake is probably more keyed in to like the overall conversation, not just directly positive or negative commentary about them, but more just how people feel generally about their cast than other franchises. I don't know if that's appropriate, but or an accurate thing to say, but I do think that Salt Lake is, I mean, and the irony with Reality Von Teese, but I do think that Salt Lake has a better, a stronger ability to kind of see the landscape of how fans think than maybe other casts have.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It seems like they're usually aware and plugged in.
So with Bronwyn, are we feeling good right now?
I don't know. I'm neutral. I'm kind of dead inside. I mean, I shed tears and then I sobered up when I saw the switch. And now I'm just sort of dead inside about it, which isn't great. But I don't know. It's Housewives, baby. This is what they do.
I don't know how they could get around doing a second season and another round of like just pretending everything's okay. Unless that was just her saying that on Watch What Happens, but and not wanting to get into it in front of a live audience on live TV directly in front of her husband. I don't know how you get around. She couldn't continue that. I think that would be an exhausting endeavor, but maybe that's what brought her to this point where she's like losing her shit on the fucking boat.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, there's plenty of housewives who for multiple seasons, it's been about their, you know, will they, won't they with their relationship. So this could be that this is the main storyline.
Does it change how you view her current tension with Lisa at all?
No, not really. The only thing that changed for me was that Lisa didn't believe her.
So, end of the episode, Lisa walks out sort of Tamara style from that vacay long ago.
You'll never see me again.
Such a good moment. Literally such a good moment. How are we feeling about the terminology being used about Lisa, that she's a dictator or whatever else?
You know, I mean, they're so tough on each other, these women, I swear. But I mean, it seems like for many of the housewives, they're very particular ladies. And they like their friends to act a certain way. And I don't think there's anything you could say about Lisa that you couldn't say about like Kyle or any of the other ones that are accused of like, if I don't do exactly what you want me to do, then you get mad at me. And it's like, yeah, well, that's the personality type that makes a housewife. Okay. That's what we're looking for. That's the top of the resume for a housewife. My way or the highway.
Lisa looked like someone had like slammed a car door on her spirit when Angie at the end of the episode.
Well, because she's sensitive with the Angie thing. Angie is going to cut her to the quick every time.
She is. And Lisa looked so fucking wounded when Angie was like, what did she say? It was something along the lines of like, I feel like I know Bronwyn better than I know you.
Yes, I just met her. I know her better than I know you for 10 years. Hurt her so bad. Like, I've told her everything about my life. I knew it. And I knew it was going to as well because they were so close. And I think Lisa is one of those people that acts very tough, but is quite sensitive when she lets you into that inner circle. It means a lot to her. And she has gotten what she, in her mind, mom shamed this year by that friendship. And now told by that friend, I never even knew you. I know this woman better. What? Ouch.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not, it was not, it's not great that like the biggest emotional breakdown, breakthrough at that point, example of like big vulnerability sharing information came from Bronwyn. If Lisa and Bronwyn aren't in the best place, like I get what Angie is saying. I understand it just like based on that day. I also get Lisa, who just has a different, not like love language, but she just has a different way of communicating. She's just not going to get to those points. You're not going to catch her. She can be highly emotional and reactive, but I don't think she's ever going to be someone who's like, I'm going through this intense thing that you don't know about and I need to share it with you. She just processes stuff differently.
Yeah.
I think she does that maybe with John. Maybe that's what the relationship she and John have. I don't think she has it with her friends.
There's so many ways to look at this, right? Would Bronwyn have ever said that, however, whatever it was based in, truth or show or Hollywood, what would she have ever said that if she hadn't been in the pressure cooker of being in Villa 2, not having her good friend Lisa be sticking up for her, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So her complaint, that wasn't her original complaint that you don't know me. Her original complaint was, Lisa, I need you to back me up more. Lisa, why am I not in Villa 2? Lisa, I missed you. Lisa, you know, this double standard that everybody's always talking crap about me and you never stick up for me, Lisa. Here you have Brittany calling me all these names and come on, Lisa. And then she cracked, was like, I'm having a hard time. You don't even know me. And this is what I'm dealing with. So that all led to it. It was a crescendo. So without that pressure, we wouldn't have gotten that moment. I don't know if that Lisa's ever been under that exact kind of pressure, number one. Number two, she doesn't have something like that to confess. So to me, that's kind of ridiculous for Angie to say, if it's based in a thought process of you never had a breakdown, you know, on the show, maybe she doesn't have anything to have a breakdown about. Lisa's whole shtick is like, my life, I want it to be perfect. And John, he's my perfect and my business and all my rings. So she has gotten herself to a place where she enjoys her life. She, I thought, did a great job of trying to help Brittany get away from, you know, Gerard. And it's like she never would have put up with that kind of crap. You know, that's what we get from like watching her. So I don't know. I wasn't sure what to make of that with Angie. And it's like, I don't know what the answer was because you guys used to talk all day. So what were you talking about? I'd love to know. Any day, tell me any day what you talked about. And then I guess for Angie, she's saying like, if I had to take it away, it would be that Bronwyn was emotional and real in a way that perhaps Lisa never is. She keeps the facade up because she went on and she said like, it's okay. You know, you're a little bit more guarded and she's not. So to me, that was the real message of you don't get real like that in your friendships. Meanwhile, Angie and Mary, look at the stuff they're talking about. Real life stuff, problems that they're having. So I think that's what she's talking about. And maybe Lisa just doesn't have anything like that.
No disrespect to Lisa Barlow, but it reminds me a little bit of this at points public back and forth between Martha Stewart and the director of her documentary, and also the moments during her documentary when I think his name is RJ Cutler, is like trying to get stuff out of her, ask questions, and she's not giving an inch, not about the divorce. It's very much reliant on other people, affairs. She is unwilling and maybe unable to share the kind of emotional vulnerability breakthrough that he was looking for.
Yeah.
And I just think with Lisa, you're going to get emotion from her. You're going to get anger, upset,
yes.
Maybe fear, whatever else. You're going to get that. But I just don't think, how many times can you ask someone to communicate in the way that you're looking for if they just do not have capacity for it? She just is not that person.
Yeah. And I think that was definitely, you know, hurtful of Angie to say, because she didn't run it through the filter of like, there's what you say, and then there's what someone hears. And to know someone is to understand how they're going to receive a message from you, which ironically, I think, was the point Lisa was trying to make with Angie, of you don't even know how your words land, and then you're so shocked when people are upset with you. So it's kind of ironic, but...
It did also feel like Angie's delivery of that line, because I just rewatched the ending of it, felt like she was trying to land a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a part of it too, as Lisa's like, you're using this as a way to like, quote unquote, win. Like, don't you think that's a step too far? I could see a little bit of tension around that too, like the production behind all of it.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with them, but I think Lisa wouldn't be upset if Angie still didn't mean a lot to her.
It's true. Unless you had like just visceral hatred for someone, but certainly I think that there's a lot of like genuine hurt behind her responses to this, and probably a feeling of like feeling super isolated, which is somewhat ironic considering that's what Bronwyn is saying she's processing because of Lisa's lack of support.
Yeah, absolutely. But this show, I mean, even without their infighting, the show just gives so much. It really does. There's never a dull moment. I enjoy it all, beginning to end. It gives and it gives.
Yeah, and, you know, the moment with Mary and Robert Jr., the way he was looking at her, what she said on the after show, he's moving to Vegas to be with Robert Sr. so he can kind of get out of the crew that he went back to in Salt Lake. She said that she got nervous because he returned, you know, did really well in rehab and then returned to Salt Lake and sort of continued to be friends with some people that she felt like could be a trigger. And her explanation of it on the after show of like, listen, he has to make his own decisions. I can't make them for him. But also on top of that, he is planning to go to Vegas to be at like their Vegas house or whatever with his dad, which I felt like is hopefully, you know, a good thing. The talk about vulnerability, I just think I have such a respect for how Mary has really handled this, because she's just done so with a lot of emotional maturity or emotional intelligence that I just didn't know she had capacity to do based on what we've seen of her until this point.
She's been extremely powerful.
Frozen in time until now.
Yeah, it was really impactful, and I hope it did help a lot of people. And it was really, you know, touching as a parent to watch and see just the situation she's in. And you also see that Mary feels quite alone in her life and how much Angie means to her. And I thought that was such a great moment when she trusts her with what's going on. And she walks into the villa when she arrives and people want to know why she's late. And she's like, yeah, you know, I just, and here I am. And she doesn't want to tell them because they're not close like that. She doesn't trust them like that. And she goes and finds Angie and they're so happy to see each other legitimately. And Mary, again, in a confessional, talks about how much that friendship means to her. That's the kind of stuff, that's the glue, I think, that helps a Real Housewives franchise actually be successful. Everybody doesn't have to be friends. Everybody's not going to be friends. But if there's just a couple, one or two here and there, Sutton and Garcelle, Angie and Mary, wherever you can find it, these little jewels of like actual fun friendships, it's great.
Yeah, there's real, genuine affection and care between them. And when you think about how I believe this started, which was literally Angie telling Mary she had like lipstick on her teeth after they were yelling at each other, and Mary just feeling like girl power, this is the person that I see a future with or whatever, to see how that has really grown and evolved is wonderful. Like, I'm so thankful that Mary has Angie and that Angie has Mary. Hopefully when Angie is going through some shit, Mary will be there to support her. Like, I genuinely hope she is, because I think that they've found something with each other that is special, especially on a show like this when you're always looking behind your shoulder. You never know when, if you're the next one who's going to be under attack. Like, they really have a bond with each other that's not based on alliances or rivalries. It's really based on how they view themselves, Angie's, both of their experiences dealing with childhood trauma, what Mary is now going through as an adult, as a mother to someone who is struggling with addiction, how Angie can react to that now as an adult based on her childhood trauma with a parent who is struggling with addiction. I mean, there's a lot there for them to connect with, and it's beautiful that they're open enough and feel brave enough to allow that to take place. Like, they could both be shut down with each other, and they're both taking a little bit of a trust fall with each other. I think it's great.
Yeah. Or it could just be a surface friendship, you know, of like, look at these shoes I got, or, you know, let's go shopping. Like, everything we hear about how Lisa and and Bronwyn met of like, we were shopping and I liked her clothes and it could just be that. But with them, it gets very deep.
I wonder what Lisa and Bronwyn's friendship was like before.
That's my question. That's my question. Yeah.
Because we don't really have any idea of that.
We don't. All we've been told are those stories about them meeting about the clothes and I was wearing this and she like that. And I knew you're going to be here and you're going to bring it because you love clothes. So.
Conversely, on Beverly Hills, now we have Kyle v. Dorit, Sutton v. Dorit,
yep.
Garcelle v. Dorit, Sutton v. Erica, kind of a little.
Yeah.
Some other shit I haven't remembered. Like, there's a lot going on with friendships, but not necessarily the layers that we're seeing on Salt Lake, I would say.
Yeah. And let me just say, I watched the last part of Beverly Hills just now before I joined, mm-hmm. screaming the entire end. I was like, this, play this at my funeral. This is just, if I'm in a coma, play it. Dorit. I don't know what's going on, but I like it. I don't need to know. Just never stop this.
So the fact or fiction with Bronwyn stuff is completely non-existent with Dorit because it's just excellent television.
Man. When she had so many moments. I was like, where to choose from? When she went off on Camille and Camille did not have a response and just stared and stared and stared and stared into space. I was like, why are you here? You need a moment. She just did everything that we were thinking. She's saying it. Mm-hmm. That never happens. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation around the semantics of a stupid cunt versus a fucking cunt is
amazing. Oh, God.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah. Knit it on a shirt. I might knit it on a shirt.
Where is that Bravo merch? Just in time for Christmas. Someone Amazon Prime, but from Etsy or whatever. That, I mean, I don't know if Camille understood what she signed up for. And there was
she
a
didn't.
Of, yeah, there was a part of me when Dorit was like, go home. Like, you're dumb. Like, you don't exist here anymore. Where I was like, Dorit, come on. Like, it's Camille. Like, you know, respect the OG. But also, no, like,
she's sweeping the leg. She's going for the kill. She doesn't give a shit. This is don't give a shit smoking Dorit. I love it. This is, you see what I like? You see what I'm into? I like the Dorinda when she's like that. I like Dorit when she's like that. I like it.
Dorit has never been this punchy ever in the
never.
History of her time on House.
Never.
Never.
Not even when she was sassy was she like this, like level 10 saucy sassy.
Totally. I mean, it's a totally new Dorit, and I feel like the cast is trying to figure out how is the audience going to react to this. Like,
don't worry about it.
I don't like it, but how is the audience going to be like? How hard can I come again?
I'm surprised that they didn't know how much we would love it. I mean, there's a couple of points where Erica's like, Dorit, that's enough. I'm like, don't rein her in. Let her cook. She's working on something right now.
Erica Jane, Erica's scene, moment, whatever.
Oh my God, therapist. I cracked up so hard. I laughed so hard. Chuckle, wow. A good old chuckle.
Dr. Jen has her homework. I mean, it's your first.
Where was my pizza?
First, you got to teach her what empathy is. Then you have to explain to her that her friend's separation is not the same thing as Tom Girardi's indictment. I mean, fuck.
You know, I just thought, you know, Kyle had a pizza party and I thought, I love a pizza party. Well, I tell you what we can do. We can work on that pizza. Good, because I do want a pizza party. Are you kidding?
I don't want to say I stand because it's not that I stand, but like she's even when she does these things, it's like she's enjoyable this season. She has really settled into herself, or maybe I'm exhausted. I don't know what, but
she wore you down.
She really did wear me down where I'm like, no choice. Like, no choice. I mean, like, when she says things and she talks about the lawsuits flippantly, there's a part of me that does think about that whole LA Times thing with the costume designer, which is still
Marco
ongoing.
Marco. It's going to come up.
Where she literally ruined his life and there's no
sure
argument
did.
That could be made against her not knowing because she sure was can't. Actively involved. So like with some of that, I'm like, Erica, some of these lawsuits are there for a reason, and they are as much about you as they are about him. Him meaning it's about Tom, hashtag it's about Tom. But then with other stuff, I'm like, God damn. Like her, the LOL that she obviously displayed on her face when Camille could not remember her name.
That was so amazing. That was so amazing. It was great. Oh. Oh my God, it was so great. And then calling her a C word in the confessional. I'm shocked she didn't do it right then. You know how legendary that would have been? Just joining from and be like, actually, I agree with her. You are wrong. Like, that would have been great.
But you know what? That confessional moment was sublime. So I don't even, I don't want to take away from it. Is it wrong to feel, should I feel guilty about enjoying her this season? I don't know how I'm supposed to feel.
No, I mean, I think, you know, we watch these shows and we know, look, here's the thing. There could be a lot more criminals we don't know about. And we're laughing at him right now. We know that she has, you know, there's going to be a lot of people always who say she should never be held accountable for anything that Tom did. And I understand that absolutely. But this Marco situation is something completely different where she was driving the bus. Don't let the pigeon drive the bus. She took the wheel. And so this is on her. And I feel like the show has done a good job of not talking about that, really. But once that goes to court, that is going to be a very, very big deal. I've already done a dive about it. There's a whole thing. So can we enjoy this person still? I think so. I mean, she's on the show. She's going to have dynamics with people. She's going to say things. And, you know, she's a player in that. It's just like you know, when people ask me, do I like Erica on the show? I wouldn't say like, you know, there are moments that I enjoy, but I cannot like her because I know too much about her in real life. So the Marco lawsuit is no joke.
Is that definitely going to go to trial?
As far as I know, nothing has changed. It's still slated to.
Holy shit. Unless she settles?
Unless she takes a deal. Yeah, which I don't think she's going to.
Oh my God. And his life was ruined. Like, yes. She ruined his life.
It's bad.
It is bad. But what we're getting right now on BH, I mean, I can't stop watching Dorit. For the very first time, her confessionals don't feel moronic. Like, I feel like she's in on the joke and she's actually delivering jokes quite well. And the fact that she like gesticulates with her mind, body, and spirit constantly, which at points drives me insane. This season, I'm like, yeah, do it. Be real specific, be real particular with how you are like moving, adjusting yourself, mimicking people in confessionals. Cause like, Dorit, you got one shot at stardom. And you best not miss. And you're not missing. You're not
when
missing at
she
all.
Mimicked Sutton, the scream Oscromped. That was amazing. It was so good.
How does a person react to the Sutton v. Dorit v. I guess Erica, like rest of the cast of it all? It was the question of whether or not Sutton is volatile versus truthful, which you don't need to, it's not necessarily one or the other. She can be truthful and volatile. Volatile and it being explosive. I think the way that they're measuring this is somewhat flawed.
I mean, when she said that and Jennifer Tilly kind of agreed, I feel like that says it all because that's her close, true friend in life. We have met Jennifer Tilly before in many previous seasons of like, this is Sutton's bestie. She knows her very well. And so if somebody that I am super duper close with is like, that's not that inaccurate to say that you're volatile, I'd be like, all right, okay, you know what? Fire sign. We own it. But Sutton didn't want to own that. Sutton didn't want to own that. And so she's going to fight it. I was like, take the L. That's not bad. She's not saying that you're like, you know, a criminal or something. She's saying you're volatile. Big deal. You're on the show for a reason.
Do you think that Sutton is volatile?
She can be when she pops off.
Yeah.
She does pop off randomly.
Yeah.
So you don't know how to handle it. It's like too hot for you in the kitchen. Get out. Mm. We like our housewives volatile around here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other moment that I need to get your thoughts on, Garcelle referencing the robbery.
Oh my God. Oh, I was making lunch and I froze. I froze and I slowly turned like it was a horror movie and I was turning to see if there was someone behind me. And I was like, is she really saying that? The thing everyone whispers, she gave it airtime. It's kind of amazing. But yeah, I mean, it's a very common theory. If you ask any Bravo viewer, it's like, I don't know. They're in a lot of massive debt and they keep getting robbed and they keep not turning that system on. Her bags and everything keeps getting taken, but not her favorite bags. It's kind of weird.
Which doesn't take away from her trauma.
The trauma in no way takes away from it.
It feels like, I have to be honest, I understand that people are theorizing that. That feels to me genuinely like an insane conspiracy theory. Just my hot take. Like, I believe strongly he has insane debt. I believe strongly she has no idea what she signed up for, what's about to happen to her, the financial. It's going to be a difficult road for Dorit. I hope she kept some of her receipts. I wish she was more like Sonia and kept the tags on and just like returned some shit within 14 days. Like, we need a little bit more Sonia Rita energy here. Maybe yeah. Dorit is about to develop it. Just the idea that they're even putting aside, obviously, because if you go down that path, then the fact that the family was there is a complete accident. But just the idea of hiring someone to rob your own house, I don't know. It just feels like a bad mid-90s movie. I'm just like, I've seen that so many times. I saw the one with Ryan Gosling like 800 times, even though that wasn't about a robbery, but like, and I also just spoiled it. Don't worry about it. I just don't see it.
True, but I mean, I think this is also just a way of looking into the jaded soul of a Bravo viewer. We have seen a lot of criminal random stuff that you would never think these people would actually be doing in their day to day to pay their bills. And so it's not, I mean, if it's a possibility, then a Bravo viewer is going to think it up. Like, oh, it could be this, it could be that. It's weird. That's odd that they keep getting robbed. This.
I wonder what their current financial,
it's all I think about,
landscape looks like, because also he still constantly references when he was a billionaire, allegedly, but seemingly when he did genuinely have bajillions of dollars, he references that a lot. And I'm like, yep. What's happening with you now being on tour with Boy George?
I don't know.
What's going on?
I don't know. I wonder a lot, because who doesn't pay their taxes? You know, you're not going to get away with that. Like, you can be the millionth person to try. And then what's your accountant situation? Like, I just have a lot of questions, because it's like, there's no way that you have a security team and like a house manager and tutors and stuff, and you don't have an accountant. You have to have an accountant. You have multiple businesses. So how did you not pay your taxes? I don't understand.
Wait, his argument is that he didn't pay his taxes and doesn't have an accountant?
No, he's never argued any of this. I'm just saying, like, I don't understand at that level how your taxes don't get paid.
Well, yeah, if you are spending more money than you have, and you have
no, but like, tax time comes around, and you pay a guy to, or a gal or a person to do your taxes. Okay, you pay someone, and they handle that. Like, they're not logging on and not. So are they just not at all ever hiring anybody to be their business manager that she's always talking about? Oh, the business manager told me this. The business manager every year doesn't say, hey, where's your tax form this so I can file it with XYZ? That's why it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, wasn't there a little bit of that with Jen Shah and Coach Shah, and he's a fucking lawyer, or was, until he went into football?
Yeah, but her thing wasn't taxes, though. It was just scamming the elderly.
She also owed, I think there was also some tax fraud.
But it was for her, if it was for her business, and Shah had no, I mean, her husband had no insight into that business. Liability. But the thing about Dorit and PK is, like, everything is always joint. Like, Babble Beach, that was both of them. And like, the Bukadabepo, like, that was him with his friend getting her into that. And like, they just seem like they're a unified front in the endeavors, the wedding dress thing and all this kind of stuff, like the millions of things that we've seen them do. So I can't in my mind make sense of, first of all, how you think you're going to get away with that. Secondly, logistically, how did everybody who's involved in all of your businesses, nobody threw a flag of like, hey, it's time to pay taxes. And then if you owe all this money to whatever entities you owe, I don't know how she's still rocking like fresh off the runway Chanel head to toe.
I didn't realize that the majority of his issues were, I'm confused by the taxes. I don't know that the majority of his shit came from that. I thought it was more just like they owe everyone. You know what
no,
I'm
they
saying?
Do. They owe multiple things. I mean, and again, I haven't looked into this in a while. But I thought it was casinos. I thought it was taxes. And I thought it was, dang, what was the third thing? There's a couple of lawsuits.
Okay.
Remember, because the episode or the season when she was like running around the pool in Vegas and a lady was trying to confront her and they ended up cutting that footage.
Yeah. And I just did a little Google. Dorit and PK owe over, allegedly over $1 million in, I think that's just taxes.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, he owes a combined $986,887.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then there's a little bit of a breakdown, according to the Daily Mail, which like literally breaks down all of the taxes owed by year. And that their $7.5 million LA mansion is in pre-foreclosure.
That's right. Yeah, I think too.
I think it's the, what's that fucking bird in the coal mine thing? I think canary. I think the taxes are the canary in the coal mine. I think that probably what's.
But how did he just go out and get like a fully furnished apartment? How is she head to toe Chanel? Like what credit cards are they using? How are they affording? He's like, this is new PK. And he's wearing like a whole new outfit. It's a single PK. How you buying all this stuff?
Well, how could they ever buy any of it? That's the whole question about them for years and years that was never really referenced on Bravo unless it was a flyaway comment. I mean, it's shocking that that didn't come up with Camille and Dorit, that like the focus was on the cunt stuff and not the fact that Camille was like brave enough or crazy enough at that moment a couple seasons ago to be like, I've heard not great things about PK and money.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they're swinging it somehow, but I do have a genuine curiosity because I'm sure, you know, a lot of extremely wealthy people or people who endeavor to be are fine operating in debt, where most of us fear it more than spiders. So I don't know. I don't know how they're doing it.
I don't know how Dorit is going to figure all of this out. The other thing that kind of like drives me a little bit insane is the fact that we haven't seen a lot of this, but like PK just referencing these like drag out fights that they've had, these like crazy battles. And we still get sort of baby voice Dorit when she's talking to PK. So it's some of this, I kind of feel like they didn't do themselves necessarily any favors if they care about how this, like the quote unquote storyline of it is going to play out, since they really truly did not include a lot of that behavior when they were filming, aside from tension after the robbery that Dorit opened herself up more about. But obviously they've had, you know, these just big, huge, bad arguments between them for years. And we just really, truly never saw them once, which is wild.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was last season. He said some really rude things to her. To me, they were rude. And she, you know, let them slide and always came from like a place of kindness and hurt instead of just popping off, taking a shoe off and throwing it at his head, you know, just normal behavior stuff you'd expect. But those are her choices on camera. And so I think it's probably important to them to keep it civil on camera, which is understandable. They have small children. But the things that they referenced when they sat down and had their little dinner about, if we talk to a server here the way we talk to each other at home, we'd be kicked out. Okay, that's telling. And then when he was saying to her at the restaurant, like, you made me feel less than, and you did this and you did that. And she just takes it. She's like, oh, I never meant to make you feel that way, PK. Maybe on camera, that's just how it's going to be. And she's not going to ever really like challenge him on camera. I don't know.
It doesn't help that she mentioned that they hadn't spoken in 2 weeks. When this most recent episode aired, but or what she shared during the most recent episode that aired. But I would be curious to see what we're going to see more of with that. And I mean, if PK enjoys being on TV, which I think he does, I mean, more power to him that he has Mauricio now, because the two of them, and I still want to see them on. Maybe I'm in the minority on this, but like I don't have an issue with Mauricio and PK filming scenes and chatting together. I would like for it to be vulnerable, but I don't take like strong offense. It's not like how New Jersey is completely built around the husbands, or was, may its memory. You're giving me eyes.
We listen and we don't judge.
I mean, if there isn't a better way to end this episode, I don't know what is. Words and stuff. Listen, BBDB, do you have any holiday wishes? Do you have any Christmas, anything that we're asking Santa for this year? Bravo Santa, real Santa, because Santa obviously is very real, both to people who have trees and also us fellow Hebrews. We have Hanukkah Harry, not the same. Do you have any Bravo wishes? I'm just going to throw that your way.
No, you know, it would be nice if everyone, you know, not just in this country, but elsewhere, if we could just have a chill week, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. Even just, did I ask for too much? 1 week. Didn't even ask for a long time. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that happens.
Okay. Everybody mm-hmm. just chill out. We just
yeah.
want
if we could just mm-hmm. drones down, mm-hmm. drama down, mm-hmm. oligarchy down, mm-hmm. patriarchy down, mm-hmm. just everyone chill for a minute.
Love that.
Yeah.
Into that. Just mm-hmm. a chill. I love a chill holiday season. I love that I asked this question. Do not have an answer. I think I also hope for a very chill Zen holiday, catching up on some sleep and making my way through. Maybe I shouldn't punish myself by catching up on New York, but certainly.
Oh, Lord.
I know. Wading into Potomac. I want to catch up on that, but also yeah. maybe just having a little bit of a rest and maybe taking some time to watch some old New York. Maybe now is the yeah. time to see Dorinda scream. And nothing brings down a person's blood pressure, even though mine is already unfortunately very low. Nothing makes a person feel more zen than watching Dorinda lose her just everything. Watching Dorinda fully break down.
No, but I do like that. It's like my white noise. It's like someone, you know, just humming a melody to me.
Oh my God. I need to just, you know what? Because I watched the last Ultimate Girls Trip, the New York one, twice. And just the early stuff with Kristen was a lot. It was intense. She was mm-hmm. intense.
It was. That was her shining.
Listen, we love a shining moment. I love this shining deep dive that we had. Can you tell the AGs about some recent episodes of High and Low, where they can follow you on social? Tell us everything.
Yes, Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo across all socials. We do a lot on the show. We do impersonations of the housewives as we do recaps, and we talk about current events sometimes, and we do deep dives of things. It could be true crime, it could be a current event, it could be Bravo related. We talk about books and movies as well.
We love a movie. We love mm-hmm. a book. We love a movie based on a book. We love a book based on a movie, but typically not as much.
Not typically.
Not typically. Listen, you know what is a wonderful gift to get yourself or your loved one? A Patreon subscription to the AG page. Number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more, and not too late to put in the stocking. Maybe it's a OG of the AG tier. Maybe it's a People's Couch tier, also known as the premium tier, where you can record a Patreon episode with yours truly or have a private Zoom Kiki. You can access those bonus episodes. Sign up for that opportunity at patreon.com/andysgirls. Follow me on Instagram at Dan Galley. And to all the AGs out there, I hope everyone, if you are celebrating specific holidays or not, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. Hope everyone has a happy, safe, whatever holiday season. And if this season is terrible for you, if you're going through some shit, or it marks the anniversary of going through some shit, well, now I'm a member of that club. So we see each other. And if the best thing about the holiday is getting to the other end of it, I am right there with you. And that's where we just look for housewives episodes, moments potentially to ourselves, moments of connection with other Bravoholics, whatever it is that you find healthy, helpful self-care, you know, you do you, boo. Buy the book, buy the movie, buy the bracelet, buy the ring, okay? Or just take a nap, or make yourself some gluten-free paleo cookies, or go to a nice dinner, have a glass of wine or a seltzer spritz. You know, life is very difficult for a lot of people right now, and the holidays can be completely fucked. And mm-hmm. so just putting some love out there, putting some love out there in the universe.
We're sending it.
We're sending it. We're receiving some of it or whatever.
We're going the distance.
We are going the distance. Also, we both individually broke nails earlier today.
Yeah. The irony of mine was lifting a present for me.
and a pan fell on my hand. So different circumstances. Mine was index, yours is middle, and it has now ruined my nails, which I had to grow out again after I had to cut them for surgery. So yep.
I just got complimented within an hour of getting complimented.
It's just that I don't even know how I'm going to get through without these. I don't even know. But we're just going to make our way through. I guess we're going to get through it with Dorit calling people cunts and with figuring out what the fuck is going on with Bronwyn and watching Lisa scream. Okay. No better way to spend the holidays than that. Happy whatever, Merry Jewish, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.